Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds. It is Sunday once again, June 10th. Gosh darn, is it flying by fast, or is it just me?
No, it's flying.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
buckle up, Spanky. Here we go.
I don't know what else to tell you. It's getting. Does it seem again? I got to take the survey. Has everything gone bat crap crazy, or is it just me?
Is it getting better, or is it getting worse?
I got to say, I think it's getting worse.
Yeah?
It's getting worse and better at the same time. Okay, maybe Trump seals the deal with the nuclear deal. But then, you know, Sessions refuses to prosecute anybody, no matter how much they're guilty.
Anybody.
I don't know. Anyway, you're listening to KCNR 1460. This is Sovereign Mind Radio. I am your host, Mark Kent. And I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And Jared, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Red Smith,
yep.
Enough said.
Yep.
That guy.
The guy. The dude.
The dude.
Oh, boy. Nothing. No, a little reference to the Big Lebowski there. In case you just recognize that and you're living in a world.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the Germans to show up and throw a ferret in my bathtub.
You know, it's pretty hard not to laugh when you think about watching some of those outtakes, or the, not outtakes, but the, you know, highlight clips. You know? Yeah. Hey, man!
I think that might be one thing I wouldn't abide.
Yeah. No kidding.
I'm the dude! That's some funny stuff. The more you watch The Big Lebowski, the funnier it gets, I think, too.
Anyway. I wasn't doing nothing until he came and peed on my carpet.
Yes.
It really tied the room together.
Speaking of rooms, you can go to the chat room if you want to. I guess I'm in there. It's on, I think.
I don't know. I
did a test. This chat program sucks. There you go. That's a non-9844. I'm a non 2400.
I can't get in at all.
But now you're not a non anymore.
I'm not a non.
A non?
Yeah.
Anon.
Q&A Anon.
Yeah.
Wow, what a week. I don't even know where to begin. I do want to have a shout out, and not a shout out, but I wanted to say something to a couple of really good patriots out there, and we wanted to have our prayers for Signe and Nick, and let them know that we're thinking about them. And you know, that's about all I can say. You know, a couple of great patriots, some of the finest people I've ever met.
Yeah. But they are in our prayers
and dedicated to the fight. That's for sure.
That's right. And so that's enough said on there. Anyway, moving right along. Gosh, where do we even start? We got Chris Van Hall coming on at the top of the hour, I guess.
At 11. Yeah,
well,
you do.
That would be the top of the hour.
Yep.
It seems
kind of
in the
Unless you're in Australia, then it's the bottom of the hour.
Then it's the bottom of the hour. With the,
yes. The roundabout.
Put a little Chris Ann on the Barbie. Never mind.
Biting my tongue.
Anyway, we love Chris Ann Hall. I was listening to her last night at 3 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep. And
you too? Yeah. I could not get to sleep last night.
I couldn't get to sleep last night. There's so much stuff these days that just is, you know, disturbing. You know, I mean, you got the Korean summit coming up, the North Korean summit on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the G7 that just happened. And do you like that weasel Trudeau? I mean, what a weasel.
Yeah.
Good grief.
And what a crybaby, too. He just snivel britches, man. I mean, the guy is ridiculous.
Everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar, and it's like we're the bad guys because Trump wants to go, hey, I'm tired of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we want to protect our country.
We're going to talk to Chris Ann a little bit about that, too, as far as, you know, who has the right to even issue the, tariffs. It used to be that Congress could only do that, and then they passed a law that's saying that putting more power in the executive branch, and now they're trying to pass another law, I guess, to take it back. It's like, you know, these unaccountable rat finks.
Yeah.
Should
change things around.
Yeah.
But the way that Trump is getting through is that he has declared the specific products that we're dealing with as pertinent to national security, which is within the executive purview. And, yeah, the ability to manufacture and manipulate steel for war is certainly a national security concern, and aluminum and a lot of other things.
Yeah, like I say, but Congress should be held responsible. It's just like handing over the power of circulation and printing money over to the Fed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not say that they don't have to take any responsibility. And you know what cracks me up is that everybody says, well, my Congress guy is good. It's like, you know, what? You know, I mean, it just cracks me up because if it's your local guy, because he's schmoozed and seen you at dinner parties and he's a great guy, it's not his fault. It's the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And so that's on the table today somewhat, too. I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to put some of the headlines. President Trump's commutes prison sentence of Kim Kardashian's drug dealer mascot. I don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, I just don't know what to believe. Everything gets slanted and skewered and beat and twisted and, you know, to the point where you don't know who's telling you the truth anymore because, you know, even the sources that I like usual, you know.
So you've got to
be fluid, I guess.
That's the whole problem is you have to spend so much time doing your own due diligence, your own research, and your own investigation to get to the bottom of what is really the truth and what's going on. It's why we're supposed to have a press. It's why our founding fathers protected the press to be able to inform the American people. And once they get away from the fact that they're no longer informing, but they're attempting to sway opinion, they've become marketing companies.
Right.
They should, in my opinion, once you cross over that line of simply informing, then you're no longer part of the press. You're a marketing company, and I think you ought to lose your constitutional protection.
I was looking here. This is, oh my, a video Justin Trudeau's fake eyebrow slides off during presser. There's such important stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or here's one. Blake Lively wears dress and heels to the gym.
Who cares?
Somebody must, or why would they put it out there? I don't know.
By well, the they're way, constantly putting that crap out.
Who's Blake Lively?
I don't even know who it is.
I think she's a girl who's probably an actress who's probably famous, who I've never really known much about. And she looks like she's, you know, getting the press. And she was with Big Bird, and then there's another guy there.
Hmm.
I don't know. Who are these people?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't pay any attention. I don't care.
Dennis Rodman says that that Trump's a great guy.
God.
I don't think that's a good thing.
I'm not sure.
What's the world coming
the
to?
The worm has turned.
The worm has turned.
Well, leave that one alone.
Figuratively.
I'm just leaving it alone.
I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy these days. And, you know, half the time I spend at home, I mean, I can't even get my internet to work. Is that just me? Or is the internet working well in every other place but mine?
Well, it doesn't work well at my house now either. I
don't know.
Yeah.
Strange things happen.
I don't know.
Jeff Sessions refused to prosecute anybody. I mean, he's refusing to prosecute the Pakistani A1 guy who spied on the Democrats, who, you know, had access to all their emails, who got caught trying to flee the country after he sent hundreds of thousands of dollars offshore to his wife, who already escaped, and...
Nothing. Violated national security.
But that seems to be happening a lot. Nothing.
Was paid by Debbie Wasserman Schultz to leak stuff.
And I saw that press conference when she was telling those guys that she wanted her stuff back or there would be consequences.
Yeah.
I mean, I swear to God, I'm thinking, like, she looked like something out of, a Tim Burton
Yeah, with those
cartoon.
Weird little dolphin teeth. I know, she's creepy.
Yeah, she is creepy, isn't she? Yeah, you better get that stuff back, or, there will be consequences.
She must be related to Nancy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Let's go to a break because we need to refocus.
If you want to call in and have something you want to talk about or discuss, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving a cowboy way. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes, I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies and leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of one step and back of themselves. And they're slow of moving and dream. Cowboys are special, with their own brand of misery, from being alone too long. To die from the cold, in the arms of a nightmare, knowing well that your best days are gone.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Yeah. This is a bright
side of the road. Frank's having a happy time.
Almost. He's out there dancing in
the hallway. Yeah, he's doing
great. You know,
he got his power crystals.
Got the power crystals going on the crystal light Tide Pods.
The red formula.
Yeah, Tide Pods, now in lemon.
Nice lemon scent.
Yeah, take the red pill and wake up. Go ahead and talk.
Well, we need to let people know that they changed the court date to the 14th, not on Friday the 15th. It's the 14th at 2:30.
This judge is despicable.
Yeah, they vacated it. So they want everybody down there, I believe. It says at 1 p.m. here, but I heard this morning them say noon together.
So it's 2:30 on the thing
Well, the court time is 2:30, but they want people to meet up. Yeah.
Oh, it says citizens will gather at 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I say like noon so that they know to get everybody, all the troops gathered up with their flags. Don't forget your flags, signs, and chairs.
They're not trying to cut down the size of the crowd by changing the dates constantly, are they?
No, not at all.
They don't. They're not trying to avoid us or not hear us.
Yeah, it makes it hard for people that work. I mean, they put aside for Friday, and
people have been prepping rental trucks. People have been prepping, things to go down there, things that you can't change last minute, things that you lose your deposit on. I can't say that word.
So the address is 501 I Street in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's the Matsui Courthouse, the Robert Matsui Courthouse.
So.
Yeah.
Remember, it's Thursday, the 14th, not Friday the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I swear to you guys.
And was there a reason given for the date change?
Not that I know. Don't they have to give you so much notice for that?
You would think, because they expect you to give them so much notice. I called up the court, 3 days before my court date and was like, I think I want to change my court date.
Yeah, I'm on the docket for tomorrow, but I can't make it.
I always show up after the court date and say, oops, I forgot.
And then
that little thing called a warrant comes out.
Yeah.
These guys are lawless. I mean, let's just be frank.
It's chicken poop games.
They're criminal lawless. I mean, they don't give a crap about the rights of the people of California. They don't give a crap.
They don't even want people in the courtroom.
No. I mean, the real deal is they want to squash any resistance to the, governance that is in California, that is the governance that they want to see on a worldwide international basis so that we all become global citizens.
Communists?
Oh, yeah, then there's that. And I wonder who's running that whole show. It'll just be, three people in
Satan?
I was going to say Hillary.
Well, that's assuming that you believe in God. Hillary is the same thing.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You know, spawn of Satan, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's Chelsea,
Jerry
right?
Brown.
It's Chelsea. It's not Hillary.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
It's Chelsea.
She's the devil
I'm
worshiper.
Sorry.
She's
yeah.
the one that worships in the Church of Satan and thinks that, you know.
But that makes sense. That because that means Jerry Brown would be like that little thing that sits on Jabba the Hutt's shoulder.
I'll take you and your little rats, too. I like the Wicked Witch. You're pretty good at that. That's, kind,
wicked...
of, that's kind of scary. Just saying.
He's been practicing.
Well.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, I don't know.
To me, you know, as a child of the Cold War, you know, and as a kid, I grew up with two Air Force granddads, one that ran radar up in Alaska looking for Russians, and one that was a flight mechanic for SAC.
I thought you were just a child with a cold during the wars.
Maybe. But I was raised very, very anti-communist. And, you know, to look at where America was and knowing who our enemy is, to now sit and watch as our own elected representatives openly announce themselves as communists, want to advertise and celebrate the fact that it's communist, destroy American holidays that celebrate our founding fathers for communist holidays. I just, it's the twilight zone.
Well, they're different than socialists, aren't they? Or no, wait a minute.
No.
They're the same guys. The socialists did a bang-up job over there in Germany in the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the socialism is different from communism, like Bud Light's different from Budweiser.
Yeah, it's a degrees.
Yeah.
You know, how fast you get drunk.
Still tastes like...
Anyway, we do have a caller.
We do. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, I want to answer that last question Mark asked. How fast do you get drunk? Let me tell you something. You need to start drinking Tree Frog beer because it gets you drunker faster.
Tree Frog, huh?
You can't hardly get drunk fast enough anymore with what's going on.
I agree with you,
Gret. Red, and besides the communists, now we got the Muslims moving in on our government.
Mm. Yeah.
And by God, don't mention that you're a Christian or anything about Christianity. They'll probably put you in jail. That's coming.
Yeah,
they're working at it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the tree frog thing is sounding better all the time, isn't it?
Well, you know what? You're old enough to remember KZAP, aren't you?
KZAP.
That's when cable first came to Reading, and that was a rock and roll station out of San Francisco, and that was the commercial. It went like this. Drink Tree Frog beer. It gets you drunker, faster. I don't even know if there was a Tree Frog beer. I think it was just some disc jockey being funny.
It might have been.
Hey, listen, the reason I called, I can't seem to get on with Terry and Wynn anymore. I call up, and it's busy all the time. But I wanted to mention a couple of things that maybe you've heard about. I was told by secondhand, I didn't hear it myself, that Gavin Newsom said he's going to double property taxes. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that, but I would not be surprised about it at all.
He has long been an opponent of, what is it, Prop 13 that protects property rights?
Yes.
He has said many, many times that he doesn't like the proposition. He wants to rip it out. But I don't know that it's a straight doubling. I know that he wants to go after Prop 13.
Well, I know that they're chipping around the edges and wanting to go to not hurt us homeowners and go after the commercial property taxes.
Oh, because commercial property's not in trouble.
As soon as they got into commercial property taxes and got more on those, doubled those, you know, it'd be about a week and a half before they started picking on us private property owners.
Yeah, well, those evil profiteers and capitalist pigs ripping off the proletariat, you know.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, Mark Baird, he was mentioning that, California is going to take our guns, already has actually, to where we can't even defend ourselves. But on top of that, they threw more criminals into the mix. I mean, they can't let them out fast enough, and it looks like they are deliberately trying to make it dangerous for us as law-abiding citizens.
Hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that...
It's almost like it's something out of the Clard and Piven strategy.
Oh, well, that's right. Let's go to a gunfight, but you guys can only bring a knife.
Yeah, probably not the best way to win. Yeah.
You know, I saw a quote today on Breitbart. This one guy said that till Trump went up to the G7 and he went to a gunfight and he brought a stealth bomber.
Sounds like Trump.
Yeah. Well, he did pretty good as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Hmm.
But I was on Reading Crime 2.0. If anybody wants to see what's going on in Reading, go to Reading Crime 2.0 on the Internet. And I saw an article, and I just read the headlines. It said that Shasta County took their AB 109 money.
Yep.
Yeah, we saw that.
Stuck it in a general fund.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Red.
Oh, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
They did the exact same thing that everybody knew the city of Reading was trying to do when they tried to push that BS half-cent sales tax on us. They took the AB 109 funds. And instead of using those to add new police and protection services and new jail services, they removed funds from police and protection that were already funded out of the general fund, returned those funds to the general fund, and used the AB 109 funds to fund things that were already funded. They just did the Hoboken shuffle on the money, which was the exact same thing that the city of Reading intended to do with that half-cent sales tax.
It's called the California Lottery Shuffle, isn't it?
These guys are, you know, they don't have any consciences or morals, it doesn't seem like. They just do whatever is expedient and hope that it gets hidden from the public.
Well, it goes right back to what Mark Baird said. They're going to make us slaves, and they are going to be rich, and that's what they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people think that, oh, there's no such thing as modern slavery. Really? Have you looked around? Do you understand that when you're working like 5 days a week, 40 hours a week to 60 hours a week, and you're
most
still...
Most of that's for the government.
And you're still,
them,
and you're still
the
broke
man.
At the end of the month after you get your paycheck? Slavery.
Yeah. Well, I'm quite disappointed because I stole my next-door neighbor's credit card when it came, and I called up Cabela's, and I've got a top-of-the-line tent coming, and I was moving down to South City Park, and they've taken and evicted us all.
I think
I can qualify for food stamps, and I know a Indian liquor store that'll trade me food stamps for liquor. What more could you ask for? And he's a Muslim. They won't prosecute him. What a great country we live in.
Not so much. Not anymore. I mean, we used to be a great country. Now we're turning into, Banana Republic 2.0. I mean, that's...
And the one avenue we have to reclaim it, the state of Jefferson, we can't seem to wake people up. You know, I talked to Doug LaMalfa on, he called up Butt's show here a week ago Friday, and I tried to get him to commit and ask him what was going on in Washington. Did they even know about us? And he was a big supporter. He told me he supported the state of Jefferson since 1987. He's got a T-shirt. You know, he's supposed to be representing us. It seems like he'd get on the bandwagon.
No, he's full of crap. I mean, you know, he's country when country was, you know, it's the old country wasn't cool thing. That's baloney. You know, he's always one of us. You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, but the real deal is that he didn't support the state of Jefferson until it was even politically expedient for him to even mention it. But if you ask him if he's doing anything for the state of Jefferson, you get a big zero.
That's absolutely right.
What
has
he done for us, period?
Votes from the state. He'll collect all the votes he can get. I wonder if he signed the petition.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think so.
I've got a question for everybody out there, though, that has a problem with Doug LaMalfa. How many of you didn't vote for him?
Yeah. Well,
I voted for Cheadle myself.
Yeah, I got to say I did, too.
I think Greg would do a wonderful job. You know, he had a really good answer. I asked him a couple the last time around what he expected to accomplish when he got to Washington, D.C., and he gave me a very logical answer. He says, you know, when I get there, he says, I know that I'm not going to be a real influential legislator. I'm new on the block. He says, I'm going to chip around on the edges and find some like-minded senators or representatives and try and persuade them to our way of thinking. And, you know, that made a lot of sense to me. And you get these people running for office, and they're going to get up there, and they're going to change everything, and they can't do a damn thing when they get there because there's a little kid on the block.
Well,
You know, I thought that was a very logical, educated answer, and that's why I would vote for Greg Cheadle no matter what he ran for.
You know, I want to get somebody in there, if nothing else, just to do the turnover, you know. I mean, just to get so somebody doesn't get entrenched in there, and if somebody does get there and starts doing what you want them to do, then maybe you try to keep them in. But, you know, and look at the Democrats. I mean, they're not Democrats, they're communists. So, the choices are... You know, you got Goliath against David there. You know, I mean, can David win? I don't know.
Tell me one thing that Doug LaMalfa has accomplished for the North State that could not be accomplished by a monkey wearing a diaper.
Well, he's collected his subsidies, and he spends a little bit of it in the local economy. You know, the monkey would be buying bananas. The guy down there at the 7-Eleven would be doing well from him.
There you go. I mean, really, what... What has he brought home? Where's the bacon?
Yeah, I just don't see it either. I mean, and I just don't. I hear, all I hear is, yeah, I'm one of them. I'm the farmer. I'm the subsidy. I've done this. I've done that. But, you know, I haven't really seen, you know, his voting record isn't great. You know, I mean, he bails out of the easy votes so that he doesn't have to show his cards.
Yeah.
But the hard votes where it's close and he has to get on board, he gets on board with the establishment. That's what I've seen.
You know, he ought to be fighting like hell against taking out those dams up on the Klamath River.
Well, I think he says he is.
I think he, yeah, he has said in the past.
That's what he's doing.
And they've had representatives up there taking care of that.
Hey, are you talking about the Reading Crime 2.0 on Facebook? Is that what you're talking about, Nick?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, because there's a new Reading Crime on 2.0, and that has, the first one has 30,000 members, so I'm thinking that's probably the one to get into.
Well, I go to Reading Crime 2.0, and then there was one called the New Reading Crime.
Right, yeah.
And actually, you know, it was kind of a takeoff by members, I think, that got kicked off Reading Crime 2.0. But either one of them will wake you up to the crime that's going on in Reading.
There's crime in Reading?
And people don't have a clue. They look at this trash they call a newspaper, and it's just ridiculous. And you know this judge down there that's keeps putting us off on our case? She reminds me of Carol Ferguson, who was running the opinion page on the Record Searchlight that's left. You know, she'd only print the stuff that she wanted to print. And any conservative or anybody that wanted to stir the pot and wake people up, it wouldn't get on there. And she had the phoniest excuses. You know, she was on Carl Bott's show, and I called her up and called her on some of her stuff and caught her lying, blatantly lying. And then Terry got on her, and she wouldn't come on anymore. And that's who this judge reminds me of. Somebody that gets in there and gets a nickel's worth of the power and has to spend 50 cents worth. And I'm right, and this is the way it's going to be, and the law doesn't matter. And have you noticed how there hasn't been any conservative letters to the editor in the paper lately since she left?
Yeah, I quit getting the paper a long time ago.
Read it.
Yeah, so.
Well, I've got to read it because it keeps my blood veins blown out. I don't have to worry about blood clots. I hope you guys have a nice day.
Thanks,
Nick.
You too. Prescription to a long and healthy life, the Record Searchlight, Tree Frog Beer.
There you go. I'm. Let's talk about this grand jury report a little more. You know more about it than I do. I'm trying to find it. I'm not seeing it.
I just shared it again on Facebook.
I've been able to do a little bit of research on it. I'll probably end up getting my hands on the grand jury report because I actually enjoy reading through that stuff. But what it basically comes down to is the county was already allotting general funds to police and jail services. Okay, because of AB 109 and the increased pressure that it was putting on local municipalities and everything, the state of California started issuing grants and money for AB 109 funds to help deal with the increase in criminal activity. What the county of Shasta did was take funds that were already allotted to police and protection services, remove those, put them back into the general fund, and replace them with AB 109 funds. So instead of actually using the funds as intended to increase our police protection and jail services, they just kept us on board with where we were before, removed the county police and protection services to spend God knows who where else. So when Tom Basenko went and said, look, we've got this money, I've done the paperwork, I've done the bookkeeping on it, we have money for the jail, and Leonard Modi and
David Kehoe sat up there and said, oh, no, 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 your figures are wrong, your figures are wrong. What they really meant was, shut up, Tom, we stole that money.
Hmm.
Don't you get tired of this crap?
I do, but yeah. Apparently the citizens of Shasta don't.
For doing that, though?
Yeah, I'm sure the DA will hop right
well,
on
Well, I'm
it.
Just saying, isn't that illegal for them to actually do that?
Technically, yeah. I think to the terms of the of how the AB 109 is supposed to work. Because
it comes with certain guidelines, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, it did go to police and protection and protective services, but, I mean, it's not. It was supposed to be in addition to. It was not supposed to be replacing general funds so that they could pull the general funds back. And my question is okay, so the money that you took out of police and protection to put back in the general fund, what'd that get used for?
Well, there's that.
Is that your raises?
And them screaming that we need more police, and making it look like that we didn't have the funds was all smoke and mirrors. Once again, lies.
And
basically,
well,
they lied.
Yeah. So they say, oh, everything's terrible. We need more jail space. We need more police. We need all of this. They get the money for it. And what do? They turn around and give themselves pay raises while the city burns. And my question is, I'm starting to think maybe we should start looking around at campaign contributors that are making a killing off depreciated property rates.
Oh, know a few of those.
Me too.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, it's par for the course with these guys. It seems like, they just keep getting reelected, and they just keep doing what they do. Yeah.
Well, I think, but this time there is a few people out there that are, on the ballot that have a good chance that they're a little bit different.
And who would that be?
Well, like Melissa Hunt.
Okay, mm-hmm. Melissa Hunt's
who
won.
We know has been a champion.
Yeah.
I mean, her record speaks for itself, what she's done with Anderson. She's been an open supporter of the people and, doing what she can.
And that would get rid of David Kehoe, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not voting up in our district. We got, what's his name up there, Steve Morgan, I think it is?
Yeah, Steve Morgan.
And I don't know enough about him.
I haven't really seen anything that he's supported or put forward.
Yeah, I don't see nothing about him. Maybe Silence is Golden or something.
At this point, I would rather take a government official that accomplishes nothing than
one that's
do no harm.
Stealing from you.
Do no harm.
Gridlock almost is a good thing. Huh? So who else we got? Melissa Hunt and then...
Melissa Hunt.
What? anybody out there help?
Well, what about Joe Clemente? I don't know that much.
I've heard good things.
I have too.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Who's he running against?
He's running against Kehoe too, isn't he?
No, because Melissa Hunt is going against Les Baugh.
Yes.
Oh, that's it.
That's
I was
right.
wrong. Les Baugh.
And then you got
Comintie's going against Kehoe.
That's it. I misspoke. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe somebody else set us straight. But I do know. Melissa Hunt. If we can get her in, that will make a big difference and get rid of Baugh. I'm sorry, but I have a real issue with Les Baugh.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I've got any issue with the man that shook my hand, looked me right in the eye, and lied in my face.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's the politician shuffle. You put your left hand in, you put your left hand out.
Yeah.
But isn't
the
he a priest pogey, too?
The political hoagie pogey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pastor Baugh.
Yeah.
The pastor.
Oh. And he's always in the community. He's out running around doing what he needs to do. He's your best friend come election time.
Oh yeah.
And then
he's all smiles.
He's another one. The one thing that I will give Les Baugh is he has been a strong supporter of the sheriff's department. In all honesty, he has done a lot to try to fight for that. But other than that...
Yeah, none of them wanted to take a chance on State of Jefferson at all. that I can think of. None of them. I mean,
he was the one that was like,
"Hey, I'll put it out there. I'll fight for you
until they convinced everybody."
Never mind, I'm elected.
Yeah, and then
who are you?
And exactly, and then he was the one that was instrumental in
the 2/3 vote or whatever to
make
bring it back
4-1 vote in order to even bring it up before to even hear what they had to say. You know, that right there to me says everything you need to know about the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he didn't even, you know, want them to be able to present the information to the board tells me that, you know, he's a scumbag. He's a dirtbag as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he ran on a campaign promise to the people of the state of Jefferson. I'll bring you before the board. I'll do what I can. I see what you're talking about. I'm supportive of it. And then basically turned around the minute he got elected, acted like he never heard of us, and then voted that we can't even go talk to him.
That seems to be a trend. Didn't Gallagher do that, too?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So.
And with that, I believe we got a caller on the line. We've got Gary Hullahan. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, and you covered everything that I was about to call. Make sure that you knew that Melissa Hunt is opposing Les Baugh and what a scumbag Les Baugh is, and you just covered it, that he's against the state of Jefferson, and heaven knows what else, and he speaketh with forked tongue. So that's all I have to say. Thank you for a great show, as usual, and bye.
Thanks, all right, Gary. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Steal that one. He speaketh with forked tongue.
You know, if you're not
that's for, a lot of the forked tongues going.
If you're not for the state of Jefferson, what are you for? The state of California?
Communism.
I mean, really, that's the choice at this point. I mean, even if you don't think we're going to get it, whatever you think is immaterial, because if you're not for the state of Jefferson, that means you're for the state of California. And what is the state of California doing?
If you're not a politician, screwing you.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're not a part
it.
Of the government apparatus, you know, you're...
Well, not even have an open mind to listen to something else, and you're a state official.
We probably need to go to a break.
He's on the phone, so we'll see.
But
that bothers me. No matter what the subject may be, if you're sitting in that seat and you're not even open to listen to the people.
That's exactly right.
How is that not a violation of our First Amendment rights?
Yeah.
For our own elected officials to say, no, you're not allowed to speak before the board. You're not allowed to speak before. We have a right to redress grievances.
Right.
Unless you're living in the city of Reading or the county of Shasta.
Yeah.
Or the state of California.
Do we want to take the caller or do we want to go to a break, guys?
Let's go to the break and then we'll come back and talk
right,
to Larry.
All right, Larry. Yeah, hang on and we'll get you on the other side. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, June the 15th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio on AM 1460 KCNR.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
That we could just feel like that about everything. You know, I mean, this whole, I'm just so tired of all the division in America, you know. I wish we would just come together as a people, you know, for freedom. And, you know, anyway.
Well, if they would stop listening to a lot of things out there, we would be.
Start actually figuring out what the Constitution says. I mean, you know, and we're going to talk about that, of course, Ann Hall. I mean, one of the things that she's saying is that the farther that we get away from the Constitution, the worse it gets, and I think that's true. So with that said, I think we have a caller.
We do. We've got Larry on the line. Good morning, Larry. Are you there, Larry?
Are you there, Larry?
Hello.
Larry, did we lose you? We must have lost him.
We lost you. Call back in. Yeah. And then I think we have Gregory on the other line. Good morning, Gregory.
Mr. Cheadle.
Are you with us?
Are you there? I guess nobody's there. So.
I just wanted to send a shout out to the best looking people and the best people in the whole wide world, those who voted for me. I can't thank everybody enough.
Well, thanks, Greg. We appreciate that. You know, I think you get out there, you work hard at this stuff, and, you know, I just can't. I mean, we got to get LaMalfa out of there, somehow, just because the guy's been there too long. That's how it works.
Well, you know, the problem is poor people have historically voted for rich people thinking that they were going to be benefited, but it's never, ever been a case where it worked out in their favor.
Right. Well, I mean, look at the whole thing. I mean, the tide is turning on the black vote now. I mean, look, it's shifting because historically, what, 90% voted Democrat?
Yeah, a lot of them are switching parties.
Something like that. And people are starting to wake up to the fact that, they can make their own choices. I mean, I really like what Kanye West said, and I like what's happening. People are starting to wake up. The black folks are saying, hey, we can get out of this. And I think if that happens in any kind of great numbers, this whole thing turns around and the Democrats are in deep trouble.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got to start voting, you know, from a logical and a rational point of view, as opposed to just being dazzled by some stupid flyer that we get in the mail.
Yeah, it's the group think or the politics of personality. I vote for somebody who wants to follow the Constitution. That's my criteria.
Yeah, the same here. But, you know, my first vote goes to what I always look for. I don't want a career politician.
Right.
That's what I look for. That's what I look for most. And then the second thing is, well, probably the first thing is, where is that person's money coming from? Anytime I see a candidate with a ton of money behind them, they're not likely to get my vote.
Well, and you know, it depends on where the money's coming from too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Romney a few years ago. I mean, his top five donors were bankers. You know, and
yeah,
that's not a clue, is it?
There is some good people out there that has money, you know, that
sure,
have money.
Money's like anything. It's like a tool. It's like a gun. I mean,
you got to track it down and do your homework and find out where it's coming from.
Absolutely. It's like the old Shane thing where he says a gun's a tool. It's as good or bad as the guy holding it. Well, money's the same thing.
Yeah.
It just heightens your personality a little more.
Well, you know, one of the things that I had on my platform was campaign reform, and I wanted a 1,000 maximum contribution per entity and zero money from outside the district.
Right.
That would be beautiful. Because why are people that don't live within the represented area contributing money?
Right.
I mean, they're obviously going to get something out of it, aren't they?
Oh, you better believe it. You know, it's like, I'm not going to name any names, but one candidate got all of her money from outside the district in the Bay Area. You know, Silicon Valley money.
Wow. Weird.
Yeah.
And then you look at, there was a race in Georgia, I think it was last year, a congressional race in Georgia, $54 million race. And the majority of the money for that one seat in Georgia came from California.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah,
how is a Georgia congressional seat any of our damn business?
I don't know. But that was a $54 million race.
Wow. It's insane.
$54 million. It was a district right outside or right in Atlanta. And they wanted that thing so bad. And like I said, that's inexcusable.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
And who spends $54 million to get a job that pays a couple hundred grand a year?
That math
doesn't seem to add up.
Well, I mean, that could be a an education problem.
Well, there's
you better believe it. You better believe it. Yeah. You know, the people. You know, we the people have got to stand up and vote for people who are sacrificing. You know, I sacrifice so much. I'm poor. You know, and everyone else they've got tons of money. They're having a good time. But you know, if we're going to get anywhere in this country, we're going to have to support candidates who are not bought, plain and simple.
Campaign reform. Listen, we got to go, Greg. We got
another caller.
I love everybody, and thanks for your vote. I appreciate it so much. Goodbye.
Hey, have a good one, Greg.
Great day.
All right.
Hello, Larry. Are you with us, Larry, this time? Larry.
Yes, I am.
Hey, there you are.
You're on the air, Larry.
Hey, according to Shasta County website, Les Baugh has more than 50% of the vote. So unless that changes, I don't think there's going to be any runoff with Melissa Hunt.
Right.
Well, my understanding was that number was incorrect.
I don't know. It says, it's looking on your website, on your Facebook page, it's 50.73. So, yeah.
But I thought that they did a recount or something, and it was like 48.65 or something.
Wow. That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
2-point difference?
Yeah. And that's why they're going to have a runoff in November between
like
the two, because he did not get the 50%.
Sounds like the Gary Catt thing where...
Exactly,
Somebody's got to count. It depends on who's counting the votes, who wins.
Yeah. Let me see if I can pull that up.
Thank you.
Sorry. We'll try to find out what the truth
because,
is
on that. I will look it up and see if I can get the exact number.
Yeah, see what you can come up with. In the meantime, we're going to have Chris Ann up at 11, and we'll try to get that in here someplace. But I don't know, because I wasn't really following. I was kind of still in we got a busy signal. I was kind of still following, still kind of in a daze during the election and stuff. I just barely got out and voted. So
You know, I didn't follow all the races as tightly as I usually would.
I'm still waiting on my ballot that gives me a box I can check that says none of the above, try again.
Yeah, the old Brewster's Millions thing, none of the above.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Listen. We got about a half a minute, Peter, to get to the top of the hour, and then we'll have we'll be cut off. So stay on the line, and we'll get to you right after the top of the hour.
Yeah, stay tuned for the second part of Sovereign Minds. You've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echo.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
TownHall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump and Kim Jong-un have both arrived today in Singapore for their Tuesday summit. Hopes are high, but New Jersey Republican Senator Bob Menendez is taking a wait-and-see approach.
Getting a deal with North Korea is not the difficult part. In fact, three administrations, President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama, have acquired some form of a deal, only ultimately to have them fail.
He spoke to ABC TV's This Week program. This will be the first summit of its kind between a leader of North Korea and a sitting U.S. president. The White House kicks off a new advertising campaign aimed at warning young people about the dangers of opioids.
The public service campaign includes TV and social media ads that feature true stories of young people who went to extreme measures to feed their opioid addiction.
I thought I had it under control. I didn't know it'd be this addictive.
The ads are part of an effort to turn the tide against the deadly epidemic.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days.
About 46,000 people died in drug overdoses involving opioids in the year ending last October. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Spain's Maritime Rescue Service says it saved 334 migrants, but also recovered four bodies from one of the boats it intercepted today, trying to cross the Mediterranean Sea to reach Europe. The United Nations says at least 785 migrants have died crossing that body of water so far this year. President Vladimir Putin welcoming soccer teams and fans to Russia for the World Cup, saying the tournament will be thrilling and memorable. Putin adds, quote, I hope that you will have lasting memories not only of the matches of the best teams and the skills of the players, but also of your acquaintance with Russia, its distinctive culture, and unique history. He concludes his videotaped message in English by saying, Welcome to Russia. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-518-4020. 800-518-4020. That's 800-518-4020.
Honda and General Motors will work together in developing batteries for electric cars, mainly for the North American market.
They've agreed to collaborate based on GM's next-generation battery system. The companies say that will allow both manufacturers to continue to keep distinct products while saving on costs for customers. Detroit-based GM and Tokyo-based Honda already work together on fuel cell vehicles.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Murray Fromson, a longtime CBS News reporter and former AP reporter, has died. He was 88 years old. He was best known for his work at wartime. During his 35-year career in broadcast, he covered the Vietnam War and Korea, fall of Saigon specifically, the end of the U.S. occupation in Japan, and the Apollo space program. Fromson was a founding member of the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press and won two Overseas Press Club awards. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Legislation that would legalize hemp as an agricultural product is being included in the Senate's Farm Bill.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says his hemp bill, called the Securing the Hemp Farming Act, will be included in this year's Farm Bill. Senator McConnell says the hemp legislation has been one of his top priorities and is very important to agriculture in his home state of Kentucky. The bill would legalize hemp by removing it from the federal list of controlled substances and allowing it to be sold as an agricultural commodity. In addition, it would allow states to regulate hemp, allow hemp researchers to apply for grants from the Agriculture Department, and make hemp farmers eligible for crop insurance. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
Today is Sunday, June the 10th, and a birthday for some famous people, including Britain's Prince Philip. He is 97 years old today. Attorney F. Lee Bailey is 85. Olympic gold medal figure skater Tara Lipinski, 36. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Radio on with Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Yes, it is top of the hour here, or a little after, and we have our guest on the line with us, Chris Ann Hall, I believe, and she is a constitutional attorney, among a lot of other things, and I'm a real big fan.
And a great person.
And a great person. I'm a real fan of her. She's done a lot of research on the Constitution and the principles of the Constitution, and as far as I can tell, is one of the few scholars on the Constitution that actually wants to follow it. So are you there, Chris?
Good morning.
Chris Ann?
I am here.
Good, good, good. It's we haven't heard your voice for a while. You've been busy. I guess you and your husband have been all over the place.
We've been all over the place, and we have created a brand new online educational forum called Liberty First University. So that opened its internet doors in August of last year, and we've been working very, very hard. We've been creating a new curriculum. We have a whole list of classes available already, and we create two new courses every single month.
Wow.
Wow. Is that at chrisannhall.com, or is that at libertyfirstuniversity.com?
Libertyfirstuniversity.com. You can access it through chrisannhall.com, but the main website is libertyfirstuniversity.com. And not only do we have all our courses, but a good selection of our courses are available on DVD if people want to just simply purchase individual courses to show in their homes, their family members, their churches, their schools, or wherever they want to share them. We are so excited when people actually get the classes and share them with other people.
Well, a lot of people are confused about how the Constitution works, I think, in this day and age, because we're getting so much, competing evidence on what is right, what is wrong, what is constitutional, what is not. I mean, you hear everything about, things being constitutional or not that have nothing to do with the Constitution. So the whole country is rife with confusion on what, is actually constitutional or not. And, a classic example is this Supreme Court decision this last week on the Baker. And
Right.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of confusion sown about that opinion. And unfortunately, the confusion is really going, I believe, could bring about some really, really destructive results, because people are believing that opinion by the Supreme Court, and it, I mean, this is coming from politicians and mainstream media, is something that it simply is not.
So it's really not in favor of the baker. It's not in favor of freedom of choice. It was more of a hair splitting thing on the fact that he didn't want to do a cake for them as being gay.
No, it was not a decision in favor of choice of religious liberty. It did not say that the cake baker was justified to refuse to bake a cake based on his religious convictions. As a matter of fact, it said the exact opposite. Kennedy cited I wrote an article about it, and in two places in Justice Kennedy's opinion, he said, no, Colorado has the right to protect gay people the same as they do any other protected class in Colorado, and that religious liberty or religious choice and religious expression is not an excuse to refuse service when you are a public business. And so it was not in favor of his choice to not make it. What it was is it overturned the decision by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission because they applied the Colorado public accommodations law unfairly. So it was really a decision against the Civil Rights Committee of Colorado and not in favor of the baker's choice.
So it's based on basically unequal treatment is by the civil rights.
That's right. It was unequal treatment by the Civil Rights Commission of Colorado. See, what had happened was this particular cake baker refused to bake a cake for a same-sex marriage ceremony. Now, he told the couple, "I will bake brownies. You can buy cupcakes. You can buy cookies. You can do anything you want. But I will not do a wedding cake based on my religious convictions." Well, the Civil Rights Commission of Colorado told him, because of the Colorado public accommodations law, which creates a protected class in sexual orientation, you cannot discriminate against the same-sex couple. Because our law says they are a protected class, you must serve them as you would any other customer. The problem was the Civil Rights Commission had also seen three other cases where bakers had refused to bake a cake. And in this situation, the cake, by request, was a Bible-shaped cake with scripture on it condemning homosexuality. And the three different cake bakers refused to bake the cake because it violated their secular principles. And in this case, the Civil Rights Commission of Colorado said that those bakers had a right to not serve. So the Supreme Court, in their majority opinion, said, wait a minute now. You told this Christian baker that he did not have the right to refuse service, but you told three other bakers that they had the right to refuse service based on the message of the cake. And Kennedy said, you can't do that. You have to apply the law equally. So either you allow the exemption for everyone or you deny the exemption for everyone. And that was the situation. It was basically Justice Kennedy saying to the states, I want to make sexual orientation a protected class where there is no religious liberty exemption. This is what you must do. So it was pretty much a how-to book, a do-it-yourself for states and public accommodation law.
So it really didn't protect religious freedom at all, is what I'm hearing.
Well, in the decision and part of the opinion, I believe it was by Ginsburg, did they not also specify that the protection extended to services that they would provide as a usual course of business as a public business, basically? You couldn't deny somebody based on any discriminatory principles from buying anything that was available to the public, but they did define that he should be able to have the right to refuse specific messaging and specific things, that he could not be compelled to create something specific for that.
simply that he could not deny service that he would provide to any other public entity?
That's a little bit confusing in that presentation, but the bottom line is this. If the person is a protected class, and you can you can't simply refuse that wedding cake because you don't agree with the ceremony, you don't agree with their principles, it is something that is violating of your religious conscience. That is not a matter of religious expression, okay? So there are certain terms, certain words that you don't have to print on a cake, okay? But the cake itself must be provided. Does that clear it up a little bit?
Yeah, that's that. Basically, if you would provide that public service to anybody else, I mean, you couldn't, if you baked a cake and put it in the window and somebody came in, you couldn't discriminate against them and say, well, I'm going to sell a cake to this person but not this person. But they could not be specifically compelled to create a cake with specific messaging against their religious values.
Well, I think maybe that's a little bit of an overgeneralization. That was not said in the opinion. And Ginsburg, remember, Ginsburg was the dissent, so her writing is not controlling in the courtroom. So the only thing that is actually controlling in a courtroom is the majority opinion, and that's not at all what was said. There are certain things that the court has upheld is justifiable. So if you don't make cakes with genitalia inscripted on them and somebody wants you to do that, then you can't do that. You don't have to do that. And so that was the opinion. And so if it was a matter of just simply any words, then they would not have come to the conclusion that they did by simply saying that these secular cake bakers were okay, but the Christian cake baker was not. So we have a, when it comes to speech, it's a little bit more detailed and a little bit more specifically oriented than simply generalizations make.
This is kind of proving my whole point, is that this is so confusing. It should be nothing other. I mean, it's not this equal protection under the law, because if the law is wrong, that means that we can all equally be protected wrong. But what it means is that it should be as simple as that I have the religious freedom to say I don't want to do this.
You know, it should be as simple as I'm a private business owner. Mm-hmm. This is my private business. This is my property. And I can refuse service to any person that I want to based on my choice. And it's not something that's reviewable by government at all. This idea that private entities can be forced to be non-discriminating is really an imposition upon liberty. And that's something that we don't understand in America. We think that, well, if a private business owner can just simply refuse to serve, then we will go back to the segregation days. Well, what we don't realize is that the segregation in the 60s was not a personal choice by business members. It was a law passed by government.
Right.
And so we have to understand that as private business owners, we ought to have the right to refuse. And frankly, I'm all for that. If you don't like the color of my hair, you don't want to serve me because I'm a 5'1" female, go for it. But I also have the liberty to gather together all my friends and family members and everybody I know to refuse to use your business and shut you down through the free market system.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's being missed here, is that every time we do something like this, it's the government that's the problem. You know, I mean, it's not us having too much liberty. It's that they're getting too much control, like you said, in the segregation stuff. And that's what I'm seeing is that they're the ones that are creating the law that's causing the problem in the first place.
And there's no balance.
Well, we have
and then you get into the discussions like we just had. Well, you know, this word or that word, and this is confusing and that is confusing. And the bottom line is, when government can choose what words you can and cannot say, when government can choose what you can and cannot do, but you yourself have no right to personal choice, then what you live is in is despotism and not in liberty.
Because they can arbitrarily decide what you can do and what you can't.
Or
anytime.
Yeah, they change the definition anytime they want to.
And people have to stop being
absolutely.
Frightened of saying what they mean. When somebody comes back and says, well, that's discrimination, say, yes, it's absolutely discrimination, and I have a protected right to discriminate against whoever I want, whenever I want, as a private citizen. If that makes me a bigot, a racist, some kind of phobe, anything, I have a right to be that.
You know, it's the idea of discrimination is simply a ridiculous one in modern society. The effort that seems to be exerted to create a discrimination-free society, which is simply ludicrous, because discrimination is part of human nature. Discrimination keeps you alive. You discriminate between poison and sugar. You discriminate between safe and unsafe. You discriminate between good and bad. And if we are not able to make our own decisions in that matter, then we have become a people that are ruled over.
Yeah. I mean, I discriminate against white wine over versus red wine when I eat a steak.
Right.
Well,
and I'm a particular discriminator against Brussels sprouts.
Yes, burn them out.
I love Brussels sprouts.
Like
they're
horrible. You know, but we joke. But the bottom line is this: it's not a matter of government to mandate our daily activity.
No.
And the a constitutional republic where people are to live in a state of liberty requires that society direct its own matters through the free market system.
Well, and these guys use this hair-splitting stuff to take our freedoms away from us. I mean, that's what I see. And it's an encroachment that's getting worse and worse and worse over time, to the point where, I mean, in California, we're not free here anymore. This has turned into a slave state. I mean, there's no rule of law. They do whatever they want.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that in this particular opinion, Kennedy did some really crafty writing to actually avoid the religious liberty and freedom of speech issues, which were things that were actually addressed in the subsequent writings of Gorsuch and Justice Thomas. Justice Thomas, oh my goodness, his concurring opinion with distinction builds such a beautiful case for the freedom of speech aspect. And Justice Gorsuch brings up the point of religious, the freedom of religion, the freedom to exercise their religion, and actually brings up a Supreme Court case, a past case, where a man who was a Jehovah's Witness worked at a metal factory, and he refused to be part of the production line that would fashion the metal to make bombs. And because of his conscientious objector status. And the Supreme Court actually said that private business could not force him to be a part of that particular production, that they had to move him to another part of the production where they were not making bombs. And Gorsuch is like, look, if I can be forced to move my employees around, so based on their religious convictions, why can't a private business owner who is creating and designing a special product of his own invention also have that same expressed right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if a product of my creation is my intellectual property and I have a freedom of speech, how can I be compelled to write something when I also have a right to remain silent?
That is the amazing opinion that Justice Clarence Thomas wrote. And I think that people should always read these opinions for themselves. We shouldn't be listening to what we hear politicians and media say. And I'm absolutely convinced that a majority of the people who are talking about this case in media actually never read it themselves. They can't have and then say the things that they do. But I also believe that if you're going to read anything, you must read Clarence Thomas's writing on this, because it is absolutely brilliant. And what my point was, the fact that Gorsuch and Thomas can make these statements substantiated by precedent, which the judicial supremacists absolutely love, it just proves that Kennedy actually went out of his way to not even address these issues.
Wow.
And with that, Chris Ann, we do have a caller on the line. We got Mark Barrett on the line. Good morning, Mark. You're on the air.
How are you guys doing today?
The fun never stops.
Yeah, I'm out here living the dream myself.
Have you got a question or a comment for Chris Ann, Mark?
Yeah, I'd like Ms. Hall's opinion on the Title 28, 2284, the judge's mandate to appoint a three-judge court in cases of apportionment and lack of representation, because we're being stonewalled on that. And as you know, we have the court case coming up on the 14th, and we're trying to figure out what our recourse is for a judge that won't follow the law.
Now, is that a matter of state law, or is that federal law?
No, it's a 28 U.S. Code 2284, and it's a result of the Shapiro v. McManus, and then Congress codified that to demand that a federal judge appoint a three-judge court in any matter of lack of apportionment or dilution of vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your particular contention against that?
Well, no, I think we hope she does it, but this judge is not following the law, and she continues to try to dismiss our case for lack of representation in California and dilution of vote. Mm-hmm. Based upon the general harm principle and the it's a political question and courts don't solve political questions.
Yeah, so tell them about that when they talk about gerrymandering, right?
Yeah, there's that. But we're trying to tell them is
so
how
what
you think
you're
we
describing
got
here is actually the symptom of a greater problem in our federal judiciary, and that's the fact that our federal judges feel like they are simply above the law. And I believe that's the result of a long-term condition where our federal courts have considered themselves above the Constitution itself. And we have a society that has been trained for 100, I can tell you when it started, 150 years, to believe that you're not allowed to question the intentions, the motivations, and the drive behind a federal judge in what they do or say. We have come to believe that they're there with lifetime appointments, which they are not. That is not what the Constitution says, and that we are not able to question anything that they do. And so they have become, as one of our founders, who was an anti-federalist writer, and he went by the pseudonym called Bruce, Brutus, that they now believe, these are Brutus's words, they now believe that they are above heaven itself.
Wow. Hmm.
Well, so what do you all do? I can say is amen to that, and if you have any suggestions as far as policy or procedure or a method of operation where we can get past this crook and find justice for the people of this state, where I'll take my answer on the air and bless you for the work that you do, and thank you for spreading the message.
Thank you. I think the solution to this problem is that we have to become really, really vocal, and we need to start questioning these people. We need to start publicizing when they are doing things that are contrary to the rules, contrary to law, contrary to the Constitution. And we must, as a body of people, start demanding that these federal judges be impeached. There's a video on my YouTube channel at the Liberty First University YouTube channel and my personal YouTube channel, Chris Ann Hall, that teaches how judges are supposed to be questioned based on the wording of the Constitution, and that if we fail to question them, what we create is an oligarchy of kings and queens.
What's the name of that video, Chris Ann?
Well, you know what? If you give me a second, I'll probably find it for you really quick. But
yeah,
it's about
why
federal judges must be questioned.
Okay, let me try to pull that up here so we can We can post that.
The easiest way for me is to go to YouTube and search Liberty First University, then open up the YouTube channel for Liberty First University. I hope everybody would subscribe to it because there are some really, really great constitutional educational videos on it about just about anything that you can think of. We even have a special series on Constitution Week. And here's the video. It's called Federal Judges Must Be Questioned. Liberty Matters, and it's in the, like I said, it's in the Liberty First University playlist.
To address the specific case that Mark Baird was bringing up, if we are denied a three-judge panel, as is demanded by law, where do we go for recourse from there? Where do we go to say, hey, we're still being treated unjustly, we're still being denied our recourse through law? Where do you take it to when the arbitrators of the law don't apply the law?
Well, it would be a matter of an appeal then, and it would have to be something that you would appeal to a higher court. And, you know, it's a very frustrating thing because, once again, that is simply the solution of the fact that these federal judges believe they are the law. They are above the law. We've been running around talking about judges making rulings and creating the law of the land for so long. We have justices who actually believe that's their job. You see, judges don't issue rulings. Kings issue rulings. Judges issue opinions. And the legal reality, the constitutional reality that ought to be, as it was created to be, is that the opinion of a judge is only compelling in two circumstances. It's only controlling in two circumstances. Number one, it is controlling on the people in the courtroom alone. Roe v. Wade is not the law of the land because judges can't make law. For a judge's opinion to become law is one of the most serious attacks on the Constitution. It's called a violation of separation of powers, because lawmaking is reserved to the legislative body. And it is only applicable to the people in the courtroom. So the only people bound by Roe v. Wade are Roe and Wade. In its second condition that must be met, those opinions are only binding on the people in the courtroom if they are consistent with the Constitution. And so any opinion, no matter what it is, if it is inconsistent with the Constitution, if it is inconsistent with the law itself, then it is not binding on anyone. And so what we need to do, especially in a situation where you're engaging in a political process that is dependent upon the proper operation of the courts, you're really sort of at a certain mercy for the government itself. And so it would require, I believe, and there are attorneys that are more specialized and knowledgeable on these particular facts than I am, that it would require an appeal to a higher court. And this being something of pretty weighty measure, I believe this is something that would go all the way to the Supreme Court.
But if they deny the three-judge panel, does that set the bar that's needed to be to appeal to the Supreme Court?
Well, I can't really answer that question very directly because I haven't read the law and I don't know the real issues that are involved here. But on the surface, I would say if the law requires a three-judge panel and the federal judge is just simply arbitrarily saying or without justice saying, no, I'm not going to do that, then absolutely it would justify an appeal.
Yeah, I think what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to put this into the Ninth Circuit and then, you know, waste the resources of the people who on the court case by, you know, stalling and delaying in the Ninth Circuit and using up their funds, I think is what the idea is,
that's, of course, a tactic. But then you realize that we have a whole course at Liberty First University on the federal judiciary. And the reason that the federal judiciary was actually excluded from many of these issues was because our founders didn't want the people to be bankrupted any time they wanted to ensure the free exercise of their rights and the challenge in favor of those. And so what we have is a federal judiciary that's out of bounds as well.
Right.
There are just so many things that we've accepted in today's society to be the role of the court, to be justifiable, and to even try to call constitutional that simply just are not so. And it's not a matter of having to be a scholar and studying the Constitution for decades. The Constitution is written in English. It's not in Mandarin Chinese. And you don't need a, you don't need to know how to interpret the words, because the writers of the Constitution, they debated and wrote reams and reams about everything that they intended and why they intended what they intended. There really should be no question at all about the meaning and intent of the Constitution.
Hmm. Listen, Chris Ann, we need to go to a break. Yes. We need to go to a break and come back here in a couple minutes. And then I want to talk more about the separation of powers issue on the Trump tariffs, as that being Congress's responsibility to be, you know, acting, and so, as opposed to giving it all to the executive branch. So,
if you want to call him, go ahead.
Just real quick, I also had a quick question on what is your opinion about these two amendments that were supposedly part of the original Bill of Rights that were ratified but not put into the final copy.
Yeah, let's get that all after the break.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to call in and talk with Chris Ann Hall, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Happening in the state of Jefferson. Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Bridget, District Attorney for Shasta County. Reaching the golden years should be a time to enjoy life with family and friends, and not a time to fear or worry. Financial exploitation by a family member, caregiver, or scammer is a common way that our older family members are taken advantage of. Unpaid bills, new credit cards, or unusual purchases by a caregiver might be signs of financial abuse. If you believe you or a loved one might be a victim, please call 225-5798. Once again, the number is 225-5798. Call anytime, day or night.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new vines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. That was for you, Chris. And I wanted to let you, kind of in a backhanded way, I guess, let you know that I listen to your show constantly and I was using your music.
I was about to say, hey. I chose that bumper. I get a little bit of flack for it because it's Ozzy Osbourne, but I chose that bumper because it was, that's what I feel like sometimes in America because of, you know, the knowledge and understanding I have about the Constitution, and then I hear all these so-called experts on Fox and CNN and our politicians pontificating, and it makes me feel like I'm on this train of insanity.
Drive you crazy. You know, we were just talking about the force of law, you know, from the, you know, the book The Law by I never could say it right, but Bastiat, mm-hmm. Frederick, anyway.
It's Frederick Bastiat.
Bastiat, thank you very much. And I mean, what it comes down to is law is force, and if you can't force me to do it, then there's really no law, and that's why we're seeing such a breakdown in the country. Who knows what the law is anymore, because, you know, if they're not going to follow it at the judiciary level, then why are we following it down here at the local levels? And that's why we're seeing so much crime, because nobody can get put in jail, or if they do, it's only like a revolving door around here. There's no consequences. I mean, this whole thing has a repercussions across the board when the government no longer follows the law. There's no longer a rule of law. What do you get?
Well, we actually have two different standards of law now. We have a standard of law for the private citizen, a standard of law for the government entity, because, you know, I mean, we look at people in government who are breaking the same laws that we do that would put us in jail.
And they are
in prison for years, and they just, you know, they get a slap on the hand and nothing else happens.
And they run for president.
Right. Go ahead, exactly.
Go ahead and ask your question, Red.
Are you aware of, I've seen some stirring lately about some people that have been doing research on the Bill of Rights and saying that there was actually 12 amendments that were ratified,
yeah.
And one of them, the article of the first, clearly stated that there will be a representative for every 50,000 people.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things you can cover about the Bill of Rights that were or were not there. I think that we pretty much have our hands full dealing with the things that are there. We have so much misconception that most people don't even understand why the Bill of Rights are even there. And, you know, in the history of the writing of the Bill of Rights, there were actually 150 amendments considered. Before they boiled it down to the 8 that we have, with the 8 that we have now, 9 and 10 being added later for a different purpose. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you can cover about the Constitution. And for me, I think that until we get back to the foundational principles and understanding of the foundational principles, the details are lost, because we have no understanding of those principles. For example, when I teach across America, and I don't know, how far is Susanville from you?
100 miles.
Because I'm going to be, yeah, super. Well, I'm going to be in Susanville the end of July this year.
Wow, I might have to get over there and watch your class or attend.
Yeah, so we'd hope everybody who's listening could make it. I mean, it's just an hour, and after all, I'm coming all the way from Florida, so an hour is really not much of an excuse.
Well, Reno's not very far from there either, so it could be a stop on the way.
Yeah, so I ask the classes quite often that I teach. I give them a pop quiz. I say, okay, without looking at your pocket constitution, without searching on your cell phone or looking on your tablet, without even asking your neighbor, identify all five liberties, list them, all five liberties of the First Amendment.
Yeah, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, redress of grievances, and freedom of speech.
You already said freedom of religion.
Yeah. I'm missing one there. That's a tough one, unless you do it all the time,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, well, most people miss the right to petition for redress, so I was pretty proud that you got that one. But in reality, Statistically speaking, only about 2% of America can name all five liberties in the First Amendment. And I'm talking about people who consider themselves to be constitutional conservatives and people who are in office, who take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. If you can't even define the liberties of the First Amendment. If you cannot even define the liberties of the First Amendment, how is it that we can get into any greater detail than the basics?
I agree. I mean, that's the basis of everything right there. I mean, it goes from, those are your basic fundamental rights. And if you don't even know what they are, the real deal is, even if we recite them and know exactly that we have freedom of religion, and then you look at the Baker case, you think, well, okay, what does that even mean? I mean, freedom of religion to what? I can't go pray in school, according to everybody that I talked to at the school board. And how do you assert that, you know, if I want to go pray in school? Now, we know that you can, according to the Constitution, but, you know, you're blocked in so many different ways by the people who are just out there being told what to do by the media, you know, by their education, by the colleges. I mean, half the colleges are, pronounced Marxism as a great form of government. So what do you do?
Well, I always tell people, if you cannot define your liberties, you cannot defend them. And if you don't know what they are, how do you know they're not already gone? And it's simply not enough to know them. Right. So if you don't even know them, you can't defend them. But the other problem is that if you don't know them, then that tells me you're not exercising them daily. And if you don't exercise your rights on a daily basis, then guess what? You don't have that right anymore. So essential in the preservation of the right is exercise of that right on a regular basis.
Yeah, we got to pass that down to our kids and get that instilled in our children, because that's the real battle, in my opinion. Because, you know, even if I can't recite them verbatim right off the top of my head, and it takes me a second to think of everything, the kids don't even know the first. They don't even know what they are.
They don't even know that there is one.
Exactly. I mean, half the kids coming out of school know more about techie stuff and how to get around on a Game Boy than they know about what they're supposed to be knowing as far as freedom goes.
Well, they don't right. even do the Constitution in eighth grade like they used to.
No, there's no constitutional test like we took.
Yeah, when you had to pass your Constitution test to graduate to high school, and I spent eighth grade instead of history. I took Constitution class, and I had two teachers that beat that into my brain.
You had a good teacher. I had a Marxist for a teacher in eighth grade down in the Bay Area. I didn't learn anything about the Constitution until I got out of there, and then I started listening to somebody who actually knew the Constitution, and it was like, wow, I've been lied to the whole time I was in school. I didn't even realize this stuff. And that's back in the 70s.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how many kids nowadays even know that there really is a Constitution.
And I mean,
in school. I mean,
the crazy thing is, what do you know that it's there?
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, they know that it's there, but they're being taught that it's irrelevant and that it's a document of discrimination and it doesn't really even apply to us. So, you know, I mean, it's just...
Or it's bad. It's not good for the people, because, you know, redistributing the wealth is a good thing, because if you're not for, you know, giving poor people food, then you're probably not a nice guy, you know, I mean.
You just don't care.
Right.
Yeah, you don't care about the children and that type of stuff.
It was written to protect white rich slave owners. That's what they teach them in school.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, we at Liberty First University... We have a course called the Slavery and the American Founders. My husband and I actually teach it together, and it sets to rest all of those lies that we hear about the founders and slavery and the Constitution and that sort of thing. So it's just, I don't know. We continue. It's sort of this negative feedback circle. We continue to teach lies because that's all we've taught. So people accept those lies to be true. And we can't really be angry at the these younger generations for repeating lies because we've been teaching them to them in the schools as truth.
Hmm. Yeah, these truths that are self-evident. I mean, does it have to be that we have a form of government that gets completely oppressive before people wake up and realize that what that is? I mean, government has been man's worst enemy since the beginning of time, in my opinion. I mean, who puts you to war? Who takes your property away? I mean, over and over again. You know, so what?
You know, that's a really interesting question because as an historian, I understand that, you know, it does have to get bad before people will stand up because what happens is we become lazy in luxury, complacent and compliant in our comfort. And as long as we're comfortable, then we don't see any reason to oppose anything. You know, the average American, when you talk to them about how the government's not following the Constitution, about how the courts are going crazy, they'll simply tell you, well, you know, it really doesn't impact me on a daily basis. And I've got so much to do just to keep my own head above water.
Right.
And I don't want to deal with these things. And so, you know, the real problem, and I want to get back to the question that was sort of posed here, the real problem that we have with our federal government as a whole is the fact that it has not followed, those in government have not followed the Constitution for so very, very long. The people don't even recognize now what is constitutional and what is not. I mean, for example, Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, as you were mentioning, demands that the number of representatives in the House shall not exceed one for every 30,000. So any district that has more than 30,000 people should be reapportioned to have more representatives. But here's the thing. Congress was required to do that all the way back in the 1920s. And they refused. And there were states that filed lawsuits, and there were petitions filed, and nothing was done. And Cyril Brickfield was legal counsel for the House of Representatives from 1951 to 1961. And he actually used this example to prove that the Congress really doesn't have to do anything that it doesn't want to do, even if the Constitution requires them to do it. Because in reality, Congress's simple refusal is enough because there's no mechanism to force them to do anything that they don't want to do.
That would be we the people that need to jump in there and be an informed population to get rid of the guys that aren't following the Constitution and get the guys that in there that are supposed to be following the Constitution. So that's
right. That should be the answer to Mr. Brickfield. Hey, the mechanism by which we control this is we identify those people in office who do not follow the Constitution. But once again, we get back to the original problem. The American people in general
do not know
what the Constitution says, so they can't even identify when their politicians are not following it.
That's a very sad thing. I mean, I wanted to get a little bit into the tariffs, but it kind of feathers exactly what we're talking about as far as separation of powers.
Yeah.
We don't even know that the Congress is supposed to be responsible for the tariffs. They're the only ones that are supposed to be able to do the tariffs, and they hand that over to the executive branch. And it's the same on the banking. I mean, the Federal Reserve was never supposed to be, you know, taking over our banking system, and the Congress abdicated that so that they don't have to hold any responsibility or accountability, just like they're doing now. You know, they sit back, they do nothing, and they say it's the other guy's fault.
Well, it's interesting because the power to lay a tariff is vested in Congress through the Constitution through two sections. So it's not just one, it's two. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, and Article 1, Section 8, Article 1, Clause 8, Section 3. And what's interesting is that our founders specifically said that we are denying this power to the executive branch because we want to keep the president from exercising kingly power, and we want to keep the power of the purse in the hands of the people through their house. And we need to keep the power of foreign affairs in the hands of the states through their senators. And Congress does not have the authority to abrogate or delegate a power delegated to them by the Constitution to the president by a decree or act or any kind of resolution. But when Congress pushes off a delegated power to itself and the responsibility, they delegate that, they push that off on the president, they are, as we mentioned before with the courts, creating the most violent offense against the Constitution called violation of separation of powers. And so then what we have now is confusion. Because we have Congress who created a law that said, no, the president will make tariffs, but he's not authorized to do that by the Constitution. Now we have representatives or senators like Pat Toomey and Bob Corker who want to write another piece of legislation to undo the unconstitutional legislation that they created in the first place.
That should be null and void to begin with because they don't have the power to do it in the Constitution, and they're just breaking the law, basically. You know, I mean, I don't remember the exact quote from Thomas Jefferson that said that basically if you let this happen, you know, you're going to end up with chaos, basically, because you're not keeping the power separate from each other.
You know, and your second point about the banks, I want to give a little reference here. There's a brand new book out called The Killing of Uncle Sam. Written by a friend of mine, and I read it and I learned so much about it from it. This book, The Killing of Uncle Sam, will actually lay out the historical plan and its completion about creating the Federal Reserve and the banks and how it came about through the Rothschilds and through and how the CFR and all these things were made. So, I mean, I don't usually give endorsements for other people's books, but because I learned so much from this book, I want to recommend, if you're interested in the Federal Reserve and how that power came about, how the bankers got control when they weren't supposed to, The Killing of Uncle Sam is a really, really great book.
What's the author's name, Chris Hann?
Paul Williams.
Rodney Howard Brown.
Robbie Howard Brown.
And Paul Williams.
Rodney Howard Brown.
Okay, Rodney. Okay, very good. I mean, I've read, I've been a, you know, guy who's been all over the Federal Reserve for years, you know, The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin and all of that stuff. And, you know, when you see how they put this together, to see that this whole thing was not a planned over time confiscation of our freedom and rights, it's kind of like saying that an explosion in the print room created a dictionary.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a plan. And then that's part of the problem, because restoring our constitutional principles, restoring our constitutional republic is going to take time. And it's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take work. It's going to take resources. And, you know, everybody seems to be looking for the magic pill or some kind of magic incantation to
fix
this all. 150 years now it took to create who we are today and this bloated and out of control federal government. We can't realistically think that we are going to turn that back overnight. But just because it's going to take effort and it's going to take resources doesn't mean we don't have an obligation and a duty to start now and to really make sure this happens.
Absolutely.
And
I mean,
so
that's what the state of Jefferson is about in California. It's really a revolt against the authorities here for not, you know, following the rule of law or the Constitution and basically implementing tyranny and thumbing their nose at our laws and our rights and our freedoms and our way of life. I mean, we're up here in the North State, you know, almost completely separated from the lower half, and it's like they don't care what we have to think about, say, or do. They don't care about our freedoms. They care about control.
Yeah, and I just simply want to reassert that the real solution is not about electing the right official. It's about making sure that the people themselves understand the Constitution and the job those elected officials are supposed to be conducting. And that's why we have LibertyFirstUniversity.com. And even in creating the state of Jefferson, history dictates that if we don't learn these things, even creation of a new state can go all wrong if we're not rooted in these principles. And so I would think that something that the state of Jefferson would really benefit from is requiring people to who run for office to have fundamental courses on the Constitution.
Yeah, it should be kind of required reading to become a prosecutor. Yeah, to be elected, it should be required reading to understand
the law.
Well,
isn't it already that way?
Upholding. No.
It's already that way?
No, it's not, but you got to be careful. You don't want to employ somebody like Alina Kagan or Justice Ginsburg to teach you people the Constitution. You realize you need to actually have somebody who knows it and
listen,
loves it.
We're down to 1 minute here, so we're going to get cut off, and we want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah,
Chris
thank
Ann.
You so much, Chris Ann. I was glad that we were able to get you on.
Yeah, we got about a minute, so if you guys got something to say.
Well,
go ahead.
I just want to invite everybody to Susanville at the end of July, and you can go to chrisannhall.com and find the details there.
Very good.
Thank you for letting us know that. We appreciate that.
Yeah, they're going to cut us off with the music, and I really appreciate what you do and what you've been doing, and you know, we look forward to seeing you out there if we can make it.
Yeah, and you have a wonderful day.
Great, great. Thank you so much, guys. Be blessed.
All right, you too.
Thanks.
All right, that's it. It's another week in the can, and, you know, we'll see you guys next week. Hope you got something out of this, and, you know.
Now, a lot of information. Maybe go back and re-listen to it, and maybe have your children listen to it.
Remember, government is not reason, it is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. We'll see you next week.
All right, you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.